Now, did you ever notice how powerful the words "we can't" are? All they do is imply a tiny little bit of doubt. But that little bit of doubt is often enough to reorder the entire course of history. And that is exactly what happened in the story that was read to you this morning from the Bible. The Israelites had, in fact, finished their journey. They were camped on the southern edge of the promised land at the place called Kadesh Barnea. It was time to receive the gift which God had promised to give to them. The moment had come. Now, remember that the place to which they were going is called, in the Bible, it is called the Promised Land. Got it? The Promised Land. It is so called because it was God's gift to the people of Israel. God had promised to give it to them. Now, you're going to let me do my favorite little thing here about God's gifts. See, we think a gift should be like a Christmas present. It should come to us in a box, wrapped up in pretty paper with a bow on top. And the only thing we should have to do with the gift is open the box and go, oh! But God has an entirely different idea about gifts. When God gives you a gift, it will not come in a pretty box wrapped up in paper with a bow. It's going to come in a brown paper sack. And when you open it up, you're going to find all the things you need in there to receive the blessing which God intends to give you. But to get the blessing, you're going to have to take all the stuff out of your sack and you're going to have to put it together in the correct order, and God is going to work with you through the process. Now, just honestly, as parents, do you remember the fun times you had when you did something like that with your kids? And how you grew closer to them when you worked together with your children to do a project? That's God's idea of a gift. He's going to give it to you, and then he's going to work with you to actualize the gift. And in the process of working out the gift giving and the receiving the promise, you and God will grow closer and closer together. No Christmas gift, no pretty wrapping paper, no big bow. Nonetheless, it is God's gift to you. But when God gives you a gift, it is still your gift to receive. In the first verse of Numbers 13, God refers to the land. He speaks of it as the land I am giving to the Israelites. It is God's gift to them. It's not actually theirs, but he is giving it to them. It is the land which God is giving. And about that, there is no doubt. Except the Hebrews were not so sure. If you were to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21, you would discover that the people ask Moses to send some men into the promised land to check it out. In the text that was read to you from Numbers, it looks like God just says, do this, send the spies in there. If you put Number or Deuteronomy with it, you discover that the people say, you know what, we're not really so sure. Maybe we should check this gift out before we take it. Okay, it's called looking a gift horse in the mouth. My mother told me never to do that. The appropriate thing when you get a gift is to say, thank you, right? Don't question the gift, all right? Okay, so the people went to send some spies in, and God told Moses to go ahead and do it, to send some spies into the land which was promised to them to check it out. The sending of the spies was therefore not part of God's plan for the process. It is God's gracious response to the people's request. And it comes out of the people's fear. Lesson number one for today. When God promises you something, trust His faithfulness. When God promises you something, trust His faithfulness. Now, He will not forget His promise. Okay, He makes a promise to you, He will not forget it. He's going to remember the promise. But He will not deliver the promise to you in your time. You don't say, like, come on over, God, for dinner tonight and bring the promise, by the way. Ain't going to happen like that. He will deliver it to you in His time. But while you are waiting to receive it, trust God to be faithful. Trust God's faithfulness. So, in the text, the one Paul read to you so well, Moses puts together a team of 12 men and orders them to go in and check out the place. They are then to come back and report what they find. And the men went and they discovered a couple of interesting things. Number one, the descendants of Anak live there. The Anakites were big guys, bulging muscles, strong dudes. And they presented a problem. For the Anakites believed that the promised land belonged to them. Now I want you to know, being strong dudes standing in your way is a true obstacle. And number two, they brought back a cluster of grapes, a single cluster of grapes that was so big it required two men to carry it. Clearly, just as was promised, the land was bountiful. It did indeed flow with milk and honey, not to mention grape juice. And when they came back to the camp, the men made their report, and their report was accurate according to what they found. They said that the land did indeed flow with milk and honey, just as God had promised. But they said, the cities of the land are well fortified, and the people there appear to be strong. They gave a report of the place, listing both its advantages and noting its problems. And there were both advantages and problems, obstacles to overcome. But remember lesson number one. When you're waiting for the promise, trust the faithfulness of God. And then Caleb, one of the 12, did just that. He silenced the people, and he said, you know what? We should go in and take possession of the place, for we certainly can. What a dude. He was trusting God to be faithful to God's promise. Lesson number two for the day, folks. If God says you can, you can. The situation that you face may not be entirely free of problems. There may be obstacles standing before you. Some of them may be really big and directly in your way. But if God says you can, you can. But the 10 of the other spies stood up and they took issue with good old Caleb. Dude, are you crazy? They ask. You saw them. We can't attack those people. They are stronger than are we. And then they began to exaggerate the problems. The land devours all the people who live there, they said. And all of them, not just some of them, all of them, mind you, are giants. Compared to them, we look like bugs. Suddenly, the problems seemed greater than the advantages. The obstacles became impossible to overcome. Those two little words, "we can't," stopped all progress and reordered history. Now, just a couple of things here. Life hinges on perspectives. When we begin to exaggerate the problems, when we let the problems become the main thing, when we lose track of the faithfulness of God, we can't. And all too often, that's what happens, even to people who believe in God. In our minds, the obstacles we face become so big and they speak so loud that our faith falters. And we believe that we can't. But the problems do not cancel out lesson number one or lesson number two. God is still faithful. And he will deliver on every promise he has made. And if God says you can, then no matter what the problem, no matter how big the obstacle, if God says you can, you can. Now stop it. Oh, I can hear it. You stop it. You're sitting there saying, "I can't. No, I can't. The problem I face is too big. The obstacles are overwhelming." Don't let yourself think that way. For if God says you can, then you can.